Hello and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service. Today, Robert Nicholson recalls how a group of disabled athletes from Rwanda got to represent their country at the London Paralympics of 2012.
It's 2011, and in a crowded arena in Kigali, Rwanda, the national sitting volleyball team are on the verge of making history as the first Rwandan team in any sport to qualify for the Paralympics. Their star player is Emile Kade Vuningabo.
It was amazing for me to qualify to London.
Their team had a Dutch-born coach, Peter Karaman.
Yes, I think they went crazy. They were yelling, jumping, if they had two legs. But some had two legs. Yeah, it was a great moment.
Sitting volleyball is played by two teams of six players, all of whom are either missing or without the use of at least one limb. Emile Vuningabo discovered the sport after a childhood illness permanently cost him the use of his left foot. The sport is played at lightning speed, with players throwing themselves bodily around the court to make blocks before teammates immediately rise at the net to smash the ball back at their opponents. The Rwandan sitting volleyball team had been formed just a few years earlier, but had now surged to be sub-Saharan champions and one of only three African teams bound for the 2012 Paralympic Games. But the reason Rwanda had built such a strong team so quickly was as a result of its tragic history.
Everybody had somehow a family member or an acquaintance or directly themselves. They were impacted by the war.
Underlying inter-tribal tensions have again exploded into violence.
In the spring of 1994, civil war had divided the country along ethnic lines.
As rebel forces from the minority Tutsi tribe appear to be fighting the army dominated by the majority Hutu.
I've seen some of the most terrible things today that I've ever seen.
They made sure we killed every Tutsi.
Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed by the militias.
Oxfam says what's happening in Rwanda amounts to genocide.
The government, led by Hutu extremists, had been overthrown by mostly Tutsi rebels, but not before almost a million people had been killed in a mixture of fighting, crossfire and a targeted genocide of Tutsi civilians that wiped out as much as a fifth of Rwandans.
Some of their players, they have got their disability from the genocide, because some of them, they don't have their legs. They have lost their hope. Some of them, they think that they are not even able to play like others.
Peter Karaman, who had previously coached the Dutch national team, was asked to help prepare the players for competition. He remembers the challenges posed by severely limited resources. He had been used to playing in professional gymnasia with smooth, springy floors. In Rwanda, the team had trained outside in constant sun on rough, uneven ground.
The facilities are not good. We trained on a stone ground or outside. The quality of the floors, the net and the material is worse. The balls, not a good quality.
It's very hot outside. Even the courts are not accessible at all. Once you play there, you get injury, so it's not easy.
Really, in the beginning, there was almost nothing, yeah, except a dream. They had a dream they could do it.
Here we go again. The gates are open for London 2012, part two. The Paralympics are about to begin.
As the team arrived in London, they knew that the other qualifiers from around the world were, without exception, longer established and far better resourced.
So the older teams were very strong compared to us. And some of them, they have different facilities, they have supporters because they have money.
What were your expectations at that point for what the team would be able to do in the group stages?
In the group stage, nothing. I know about the level of the world, I know the other teams, I've seen all them play, and I knew our level was still not enough to win one game.
But what we say is, we are going there, at least we are going to play very well, very nice game. We know it's not easy to win any game there, but you're going to try to play very well.
And for you, as the captain at that time, did you feel under more pressure to play well and also to project a certain confidence and mood to help encourage your teammates?
Not easy for my teammate. Because some of them, they are quite new. They don't have this experience. So they are going to be able to be under pressure because of the supporters in the stadium. But at least I was just saying, please, my teammate, please don't be stressed because you're going to play with the strong teams and maybe we're going to have more supporters. Be strong and play and enjoy the game.
According to Emile, the team were motivated by the desire to raise their country's profile and show off how Rwanda had progressed since the civil war.
We are Rwandans. we are playing, we are representing our country. So even sometimes they used to ask us, oh, do you still have genocide in your country? I said, no, we don't have genocide. Now we are safe, we are growing, we are improving everything. We are Rwandans, we are playing like Rwandans. We don't have this division.
As expected, Rwanda lost every pool game. But with the group stage over, they would have one final chance to win a playoff against Morocco, an opportunity to avoid coming last in the tournament.
That was the team to beat. It still is a challenge because when yourself, yeah, Ron was busy for 4 years playing sitting volleyball, 5 years. I think Morocco is playing sitting volleyball for about 30 years. We knew it was not going to be easy, but we had to fight.
The game started badly.
It's too good for Rwanda. 25-20, first set to Morocco.
After losing the first set, it's also possible that the players will lose their confidence and will go down and lose by 3-0.
They were even thinking that we are not on the same level with them. They just think like we are underdog, we are down.
But somehow your confidence has to stay or has to get up.
On set point, it'll be a 2-set-to-love lead.
The match hung in the balance.
My coach was that saying to me, please, we want that set. Please try your best. You want that set?
At that moment, it's pure mentality. The mental power. Are they willing to do it? Are they going to get afraid?
The Rwandans fought off the set point and took the second set.
So, underway in the third, even Stevens, one set apiece.
Back from the brink of defeat, Rwanda took control of the match.
Good blocking by Rwanda. Opening up a nice 4-point lead for them. Emile Buningabo with that point, getting it down low enough.
In the game, I say I was just playing very well, and I say I want to win that game. It was even our final, so just play with your maximum level.
They get more confidence, and at some point, the self-confidence is so big, you can't beat them anymore.
I think that's it. A delight for the Rwandan squad. Peter Karaman, their coach in the middle, delighted as well. And for a team who had such a scrap to get here, it's a great result. They have the emotive vote in many respects because of what went on in that country some 15 years ago.
Rwanda still hasn't fully recovered from the 1994 civil war. Some accuse the government of committing their own human rights abuses. But for Emile and the players, winning that game in 2012 proved a point of pride, showing the world what they and their country were capable of.
Did you think back thinking, you know, only a few years ago I had never played this sport and here I am in London captaining a team to a win in a Paralympic match?
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I said that, how can I start playing in 2009 and read the team in London Paralympic Games and you won one game? I was very happy, even crying. So you can't imagine how I was. By the time we played very well in London, they're just saying, oh, so even if we have lost our legs during the genocide, but now we are able, we are capable to do anything. We are able even to represent our country. And we didn't even have anything talking about genocide at that time because we said, we know our past and now we are building our future using sport. It was just a very good moment for us.
That edition of Sporting Witness was written and presented by Robert Nicholson. It was a Whistledown production for BBC World Service.